35 after.
Can we do a roll call?
Yep. Bruce Burke. Colin Oglesby.
Here.
Cynthia Harper Ayala.
Here.
Dale Calvert.
Here.
Elian Hernandez.
Here.
Thank you.
Ian Johnson.
Here.
John Aitken.
Here.
Jenna Lynn Lazana. Paul Smith. Do I continue down to the?
No, but just declare that we have a quorum.
We have a quorum. I declare it.
I do declare. All right. Right on.
Quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
How many has to be for a quorum?
Well, whatever we are right now, right?
At least 50%.
Five. Half plus one.
Just curious.
Yeah, it's a total of nine, right?
I believe we have one vacancy, so we don't include the vacancy, so. So we have, the mayor's appointee is vacant.
Outstanding. Well, our first order of business is to elect a new chair and vice chair. So. Who's interested?
Who is the vice chair now?
Ian.
She nominates one that's not here. Listen, that's the way it works, you know?
That's true. We all are going to get our turn, but.
Colin actually had expressed his interest in being chair.
Good job.
Do you want it?
Sure.
Outstanding. Vice chair?
I'm happy to continue being vice chair since I show up.
You do. Thank you. We appreciate you. Yeah. Right on. Anybody else? All right. With that.
I move that Colin's chair and Ian's vice chair.
I second the move.
Beautiful. Thank you, John. Thank you, Cynthia.
Great.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Could I do a?
Oh, yeah. Roll call?
Yeah, roll call.
Yeah, sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Bruce Burke. Oh, yeah. Colin Oglesby.
Aye.
Cynthia Harper.
Yes.
Dale.
Here.
Just no answer.
Leanne.
Yes.
Ian.
Yes.
John.
Yes, but I suppose it'd be weird if I voted no since I.
You can call.
Although it's not.
It's been done before.
I know. Not entirely possible.
All right. So I suppose I finish out this round, yeah? Okay.
Great.
You did a good job, girl.
Yes, and thank you very much.
Yes.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much. Thanks to Ian for nominating me last year. All right. So let's move forward. Approval of minutes from March 23rd meeting.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
I second.
Thank you, Dale. Thank you, John.
And let me clarify that. I move to approve both the March 23rd and the April 21st minutes.
Even better. Thank you so much. All right. John, you're still seconding that?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Sounds good.
We don't need a roll call.
We're good.
I don't think we need a roll call.
I would.
We need a voice vote for this?
I would think a voice vote would be appropriate.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody not? All right. Motion carries. All right. Nobody is here for the call to audience. So let's get rolling on Prop 101 updates. Thank you.
Okay. Madam Chair, I did not put together a PowerPoint for 101. You do in your packets have the 101 financial report. I would note that right now to date, we in fiscal '26, we have had expenditures of just over $8 million, $8,997,999. When we look at our anticipated remaining expenses to complete the program, We're estimating $29,447,267 of remaining expenses for a total projected expense of $132,621,431 compared to an accumulated amount of revenue of $133,311,734. So we have a modest balance of $690,303. Now this is all the remaining funds are allocated to the arterial and collector road portion of the proposition that was approved by the mayor and council after public hearing. I can tell you that just a brief update on where we stand with the various projects. Fifth Street, we expect that by the end of the summer we will have Fifth Street repaved at a base layer from Alvernon to Country Club. So that portion of the road will at least have a base layer and temporary striping down. We are working to the east from there. The part of the challenge with the section between Alvernon and Country Club was they had to basically pave it in thirds, and because it's so tight. And that has been what has really delayed that section. Right now they're in the process of excavating and preparing the base for paving of the north third, which is the last piece of it between Alvernon and Country Club. We expect that late in July we'll see paving of that last third. So likely beginning of August, that'll be turned open to traffic and we'll reduce the number of barricades. We will not do the final paving until later. The portion to the east of Alvernon will be done 1 mile at a time. We've got three additional miles to the east, and they'll do it on basically north half, south half. I don't know which side they'll do first, but they'll do a half at a time because they've got enough room that they can put traffic onto one half or the other. And so they'll progress. It'll basically be six phases, if you will, of construction for the base paving. And then what they'll do is they'll do a final paving of the whole project. That will likely take place in August of 2027. So we've got about another 13, 14 months of paving work to do. Tucson Water is now done with their major work. They're doing, you know, there are some adjustments and some new connections that they're putting in, basically house connections, but their mainline work is complete. So basically the paving project has been turned over to the paving side. So that project.
Question.
Yeah.
Put down subbase underneath for Country Club to Alvernon. Is that going to continue all the way to Wilmot?
We will be basically reconstructing all of it. So, and the section in front of Sewell Elementary will go in concrete because that is, there's so much water that comes down through there that pavement gets beaten up pretty badly, and the concrete section will be more durable. It won't reduce the amount of water coming through there, but it will make it more durable and safer to cross. The next project I want to let you know about is Park Avenue. Park Avenue, they expect to have that open by October, or I'm sorry, they expect to be complete by October, but all of the paving will be done in August. So Borderland is finishing that up. The waterline work is now complete on that project as well. And right now, it is one direction of traffic is open while they're building the base for the other side. And I know that's been a source of great consternation for many of the businesses, the small businesses along there. And I know that the Ward 5 office has been working to try to encourage, I think they're having, every other week they have a a lunch at one of the restaurants to try to promote business for those folks, show them support. But yeah, they are, those businesses, many of them are struggling because not only do they have the work on in front of their project, but they're also have the lack of continuity through on 22nd Street, which has reduced the volume of traffic in the area. So that takes us to the last project that we still have not built or bid, and that is the downtown portion of it. We're continuing to go through revisions to the waterline plans on that. And we expect by the end of the summer to have the waterline plans complete. They are looking at putting out to bid 10th and Main separately, because Tucson Water, one of the things that we've experienced with Tucson Water is some revisions in the scopes of the work that they're expecting. Partly this is driven by their budget, you know, that we are pushing them budgetarily, and their work is much more expensive. If they choose to replace the water lines in a road that we're repaving, the water lines are far more expensive than the paving. So there's a budgetary concern there, but they've also begun using AI to estimate the remaining life or useful life of their pipelines, based upon condition information that they've been collecting, and they are scaling back the amount of work that they're planning to do with many of our projects. So I find that to be hopeful in terms of helping us get through projects a little more quickly, because the waterline portion of the work can be very time consuming, both in the construction and in the design side. So that is what's going on there. We should look to have probably the bid in October on the last piece, the downtown portion of it. One of the things that you are likely to be asked about once we know what the bid prices are for all of the remaining projects, and that will be, you know, once we have the bid in hand for the downtown project, which is mostly Alameda and Church Avenue. Those are the main roads that we're dealing with. Once we have that bid analyzed, there is a portion of Church basically from Pennington to Broadway that was excluded from the repaving program. And at the time when we set the initial budget, almost 10 years ago when we started this process and began to identify the road projects, the condition of that section of Church was better. It is aged and it's declining, and we're going to have new sections on either side. There will be likely, you know, if the bids are favorable and we don't see any increases and we still have that available amount of money, we may come back with a recommendation to ask you to allow us to, you know, basically do a mill and fill on the piece in the middle. So you've got the piece from Broadway to the south that goes in front of the TCC. You got the piece between Broadway and Pennington, and then from Pennington south to Franklin. So as well as Alameda. So that would be the final project. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
This is only marginally related, but that intersection at Church and Franklin, that's...
Yes.
The still being worked on after the ribbon cutting, the opening of the...
We haven't done a ribbon cutting.
Oh, okay, all right. when is that going to be done, do you know?
This is the RTA project, and right. Tucson Water decided to... they opted to do that work, and there is a little piece of Franklin that they're also going to be doing, basically... over to we repaved Franklin from Church West. They have to do it from Church to the east to Stone. So that remains, and that will be done by Downtown Links. There's a fairly complicated water structure that they're working on right now. That's the reason it's been closed. In terms of the overall project. They are in the process. In fact, I believe they've got almost all of the barricades down. I think there's a little bit right at the intersection, but you're now open to four lanes of traffic under the railroad at this time. There's still some work at the intersection of Church and St. Mary's that's still going on. They've got the signal energized. The remaining major pieces of work are the railroad crossings for the bike crossings. We did have we've had vandalism problems, and one of the there are three railroad crossings that had to be modified. Fifth Street, which is a vehicular crossing, 9th and 7th. 9th and 7th are bicycle only. We had been working to try to get the track crews in to schedule the work. And unfortunately, over the amount of time that we've had the products out there, they've been vandalized. The track pads, the concrete pads, have rubber gaskets, if you will, rubber bearing pads and gaskets between the adjoining panels. And they have been burned. And they've been burned now twice. So we've replaced them now two times. We're bringing in a third set of this material. I'm confident that they'll be securing it better for the remaining ones, because Union Pacific will not come back to, will not schedule the resetting of the pads until the pads are in Tucson. There was one crossing that was not damaged. And that are the pads for 5th were not damaged, and they are currently, in fact, I think they installed them on Sunday and today. So that should be intact. There will be then paving that comes up to it. So that will be that should happen fairly quickly. But we do not know when the remaining two bicycle crossings will be opened. It could be as late as November.
Thank you. Sorry.
Sorry for the long-winded response. No. Hopefully that was informative.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Isn't there any way that they can put like a camera or something, or turn a camera over into those particular areas?
You know, I'm sure they could do that. We've talked about it. I'm not sure what they're doing at this point. They have had, there are a lot of people that move around in that area.
Right.
And we have had to displace camps in the park area that they have built. So it's an ongoing issue. I think they tagged the overpass again last night. So, they just painted it and it got tagged. So it's a fresh canvas. So
they're basically really pissed off.
You know, I'm not sure that it's that. I think we get tagging all over town. It's just that this is a...
Yeah, but you think with all the murals that are going up, that it would kind of like soften, or in some parts stop vandalizing. But apparently that's not going to happen, or it's not happening. There's a lot of beautiful murals.
You know, maybe that's the solution, is to offer up some of these areas that are getting repeatedly tagged as opportunities for murals. But, you know, the metal structures, all of it gets hit. And, you know, it's going to be, right now it's the contractor's responsibility.
Right.
Once the project is completed, it'll be the city. So we'll be dealing with that on an ongoing basis. I wish there was an easy answer, but we haven't found it yet.
Is there a percent for art worked into any of these?
All of them have a percent for art, 1% for art. Mm-hmm. That's a standard with the RTA, it's a standard with the city. But what we don't have is a source of funding for art maintenance. Perfect. So I know they had to get a grant, I think, to deal with the shedding of skin on the snake bridge. So, mm-hmm. But it's an ongoing thing. You know, all of this art does need maintenance. You know, we've got a lot of lovely tiles around town. We need to repoint the grout from time to time. You know, there's maintenance that needs to be done, and that's something that I don't think we've got a budget for.
Yeah. Thank you.
So any other questions on 101? Okay.
411.
All right. Here we go. Thank you. slider here. Okay, and you know, some pictures of recent work. This is Tucson Park West, over west of Star, or east of Star Pass, and south of Star Pass, actually south and north of Star Pass Boulevard. So we had done work around Broadway and Shannon with a prior contract, and then we've continued out, continued through the area there. These are some of the neighborhoods that we are currently underway on. At the top of the list are the ones that are probably the oldest. Ward 2 and 6, the repaving. The last of that project, that was a big project that had a lot of pieces to it. It is Avondale is the last neighborhood, so right behind call it the McDonald's at Speedway and Craycroft, there was a water line that had to be replaced. So we paved everything except for the streets that had to have the water line work. They did the water line about 2 weeks ago, got that all completed. By the end of the month, I think the end of July is when we're expected to repave those last two streets, and that will conclude the Ward 2 and 6 project. Frontier Village, Columbus Edition, that's the area around the Tucson Botanical Gardens. That is substantially complete. We're just doing the final adjustments and cleanup. West University Neighborhood, we're in final adjustments on that. We've repaved all of the streets in that area. We're actually expanding that now with that contractor. We're going into the area between Euclid and Park. So we're doing it around the mini dorms, the dorm towers, and we are going to be also paving Park south of the University Boulevard. With that, we will be transferring Park Avenue from Speedway to Fifth Street or Sixth Street to the University of Arizona. So the Board of Regents will own it and maintain it from this point forward, which they would like to control it because they've got university facilities on both sides throughout. We have Iron Horse that's just finished up paving. We're in adjustments on it. Windsor Park, Verde Vista, Cochise Estates, and Kingston Knolls. We're wrapping up the concrete work and into beginning the paving, starting at Windsor Park. American Via Country Club, that's in final adjustments, and Country Club Estates will probably be done with paving. That's the area immediately to the west of Reed Park. Paving should be finished next week, and then we'll be into adjustments on it. Lamar City Acres, which is to the south of the Ajo I-19 interchange on both sides of Interstate 19, that's the Lamar City Acres, that has been repaved, and again in final adjustments. Military Plaza or Armory Park, that is, we're wrapping up the concrete work, and not next week, but the following week, they will begin paving in that. One of the things that we've committed to do on 4th Avenue is expose all of the, there's historic streetcar tracks that I know the streetcar folks want to assess as a part of a potential future streetcar, Old Pueblo Trolley revitalization. They've got their trolley barn in South Tucson, it's kind of the south end of South Tucson on 4th Avenue. There's an aspiration to try to bring the Old Pueblo trolley back to operate between their museum down 4th Avenue through the restaurant district, and then tie into the Tucson Modern Streetcar, or at least stop at it, so at a point where they can passengers can transfer. So that's a goal for the streetcar folks. We will pave over it, but we will assess the condition, and that way the streetcar folks will know what they can work with, because they're over the intervening 100 years since it went out of service. They don't have complete documentation as to what's happened. There may have been some places where it was damaged or cut. that they don't know about. So this will give them an opportunity to see what's there to work with. Spring of 26, surface treatments are in final adjustments. Same with Park West. We are starting San Rafael Estates. That would include Carondelet Boulevard and Jessica Street over by St. Joseph's Hospital. So that is starting up. El Saguaro Edition Adelanto, that is the area right around the new casino. So all of the neighborhoods from basically Oracle and Main to the interstate between Speedway and Grant, excluding the casino property, that would be that's being repaved. We have Broadway Estates, which is a phase two project. Both of those are phase two projects, but we felt that it was appropriate to start those early. The El Saguaro, because of the casino, and there are actually some roads that the casino would utilize that are in this. And then Broadway Estates, that is the area right around Rincon High School, and it includes Arcadia that runs along Rincon. We want to get that done while the students are out. That will be repaved in July.
Quick question on El Saguaro. Does that include the reservation, Old Pascua?
Yes. Okay. All of the streets are City of Tucson owned streets in Old Pascua.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, we would be going from Fairview east. Amphitheater Acres addition, and you'll recall we had the residents from Calle Alegre come in and petition to have their neighborhoods done. That's in, I think we finished pricing, and we're about to go out to, or have ISX Corporation do that work. Tucson Heights Highland Park addition, that is in award. That is the area that includes Sugar Hill, Feldman Edition. It's basically everything from Grant to Speedway. It's east of El Saguaro, so it starts at Oracle and goes to Euclid. So all of that area in through there is, would be Euclid. So all of that area in through there, First Avenue, Euclid alignment. So that is in award. We had an engineer's estimate on that of $12.5 million, and the bid came in at $9.1 million. So we are seeing surprisingly strong bidding climate right now for us. So we've got a lot of bidders. We have seen some kind of wild fluctuations in pricing, and a lot of it has to do with the Gulf War. On the hard bid items, they've gone well. Swan Park, San Paulo, and Craycroft, Northgate. We had been told that that work was, the water work was going to be done at the beginning of June. Nobody told us that it got delayed. It's now February, so we put that on hold. That is a phase one project. Olive Grove, Cedar Grove. That's also still on hold. That's the area just to the north of the Davis-Monthan Boneyard, if you will, between Pantano and Kolb. That area is getting emergency Southwest gas work. And then we have Dunbar Springs, which we're in the process of awarding to Granite Construction. So those are the projects that are either pricing in award or actually not preparing for bid. We've got all of these things underway. This is a map showing the projects in Ward 1 that we've got. You've got Dunbar Springs, which is in red. The others, Lamar City Acre and Park West, those are in black, and those are largely done. Ward 2, you can see in red the neighborhoods that are Windsor Park, Verde Vista, Cochise, and Kingston Knolls, and then San Rafael is in black. All of those are under construction. Tucson Heights, and this is Ward 3 projects, Tucson Heights Highland Edition, that's the black circle to the right. That actually goes also into Ward 6 there. You've got You know, I would note that to the left of it is El Saguaro Edition. You don't see all of the small streets laid out on this because this was a map that only showed roads that were in Phase 1. Phase 1 and bike boulevards, well, El Saguaro Edition is a Phase 2 project. And then you've got the Amphi Acres, which is in red, which it says we're in preparation to bid. We're beyond that now. We've selected a contractor. In Ward 4, we've got the Lakecrest, Lakeside, and Enchanted Vista area that's finalizing. And then we also have the neighborhood in black here. That's the project on hold that is the Cedar Grove, Olive Grove neighborhood that is on hold. We expect to get after that after the first of the year. Ward 5 projects, Tucson International Business Center, Swan Road, Littleton, and Western Hills. Well, actually, those are finalizing, and then the Western Hills, Las Vistas, right here in black. The award was finalized, contract signed yesterday. Actually, not yesterday, Friday. And in Ward 6, you've got the Feldman Edition, which is part of that Tucson Heights neighborhood that's in Ward 3. Then you have the West University neighborhood, which is finalizing, Avondale, which is finalizing, and just that one street or two streets right here and here that are remaining to be paved at the end of the month. Then you've got Iron Horse, which the paving is down. And then you've got Armory Park. And to give you kind of a summary where we're at, we have paved almost 7,000 square yards. I'm sorry, 7 million square yards of Phase 1. We had when you add that to the phase, the initial project list that we had, we now have 40.1% of the city's streets. Residential streets repaved. Another 4.6% is under contract. Actually, that will probably grow when I add in some of the things that are in the process. We're on schedule. You know, this is the end of the fiscal year, marking the fourth anniversary of our start is on Wednesday, or actually, it's tomorrow is the end. So we are where we want to be, I think, in terms of the delivery. This is a map. I'm going to update this periodically. Well, I'm going to try to do this about twice a year. But it shows where we started in April of 2023, before we did our first 411 project, and where we are now in June of 2026. The amount of change. With the green, the dark green being very good, the lighter green being good paving, fair and yellow, poor and orange, and red and very poor. So we're definitely taking out a lot of the very poor paving. To give you an idea of where we stand in terms of our delivery, this one of the things we've been doing has been keeping tabs on the score that we have. This is the average pavement condition, on a scale of 0 to 100. We were, at the beginning of the recession, the Great Recession in 2008, we were at a 54. We had not seen that high a score until this past year. We actually, even though, with the Great Recession, we saw a big reduction in funding available to do work. The HERF revenues that the city relied on dropped by about 25% between 2006 and 2011, and it didn't start rebounding until then. But it basically took 25% of our revenue away. We at the time had about a third of our revenue committed to bond repayment. So we cut everything to the bone, and a lot of the preventative maintenance just didn't happen as a result. And the city ended up refinancing the bond debt, and that has only just been paid off. So where we stand, though, I'm pleased to say, you know, at a 60.95, we are square in the fair condition as a system, you know, having come out of a very poor condition. So, when we started the program, we had a plan to get it. Our goal was to get it to an overall condition index of 70, you know, somewhere between good and fair. We thought that was attainable. I think we're on path to do a little better than that.
So. Can we go back to the prior slide?
Yeah.
On this one, I just want to point out, because I looked at some of the ones that are still in very poor to fail, and I just want to point out that even though the entire square is the color reflecting very poor to fail, some of these are only 1 to 4 roads, so there are still some easy wins available. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, well, when I look at it from the standpoint of our system average, I'm not looking at squares, I'm looking at square yards. So, you know, you're right, the map may change more quickly with a few select street improvements, but in terms of our overall condition, which is really what I'm trying to track to, you know, it's tied to the square yardage. So the easy wins, we're gonna go for them too. So the one thing that we're continuing to have problem with is claims. And I think this is largely driven by the challenges that we're having with our arterial and collector streets. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. In terms of projects that were our initial projects that we're looking at doing in phase two for Ward 1, I am getting in the process of contracting for McKinley. This is basically the Barrio Anita area. It's called McKinley Park. Then we got Rio Nuevo North and Menlo Park Annex. What's triggering that is we've got the Bike Boulevard coming through here, and we're talking about trying to get the Bike Boulevard repaved. And as we were talking about that, it's like, well, why don't we just do the whole bloody thing and get the contractor to do it? The unit price came down, they were ready to go, so we went ahead and did that. So that's happening right away. We're in design. This will probably be one of our, this was targeted as our first Ward 1 project, and that's the Miraflores Estates. That'll be coming out probably, I'm gonna guess, September. Looking at Ward 2, this is going to be a ganga. This is going to be about a little over a $10 million project. Maybe not quite as big as the Rolling Hills program, but it'll be close. We're looking at basically 1.5 square miles of work, going from Bonanza on the east to Camino Seco on the west between Speedway and Broadway. My guess is we'll probably have that go to bid around Christmas time. And so that'll get going then. That will be a hard bid project.
And on that one, there's no way to throw a bridgeway in there?
Ridgeway the neighborhood or?
The collector.
The collector, we have that. No, that would be a different source of funds, and I'm tapped out on. I've got my commitment. We've negotiated that with the RTA to the $28.5 million, and so that would be the source of money for Ridgeway.
Okay. I got to ask. It's the councilman's been bugging me on that one. So.
That councilman is pretty good at bugging on a lot of things.
Yeah,
yeah, he's pretty. He's an advocate for his community, as are most of the council members. The other one that we're going to be looking at moving on to Ward 3. Samos will probably be the first one that I do. We've already got, this is the El Saguaro neighborhood. So this is where the casino is right here. So that is already under contract. This will be our next step, would be to do the Samos neighborhood. My guess is that'll probably come out in the spring. This project will be following on it shortly on its heels, probably early next fiscal year would be my guess. I was a little ambitious when I said this was our fiscal 27 program because I failed to account for all of the money we still have under contract for other things. So we are, to use Dale's terminology, we're getting ahead of our skis. So, I need to watch the rate of collection, and we're looking at that right now.
Question on Richland Heights West. The dirt roads are going to remain dirt roads in that neighborhood?
Yes, we don't pave things that aren't paved.
Perfect.
Jim,
yeah.
Is the block in the center bottom right, is that the one that contains Mountain Avenue?
Mountain Avenue, yes. Mountain Avenue is the gap right here.
Okay, so that one is not going to get any treatment right now, I assume.
Mountain Avenue is on my list of RTA projects. My guess is I'll probably look at trying to put that into the fiscal 28 program. Now, that's one program that I will stick to the fiscal years on. I fully expect to deliver all of those, or certainly have them all under construction during fiscal year 27. Some of it may linger into fiscal year 28 as they're wrapping things up, but I'm making a lot of headway right now on Irvington will, I'll talk about that in a minute. I'll give you the update on the RTA projects later.
On Mountain near the Catholic High School, it's a lot of pothole patches on that segment, if you have driven on it recently.
My son just graduated from that high school, so I'm very familiar with the patches.
Yep.
So,
they're good at patching.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Moving on to Ward 4, we still have that one neighborhood that we need to finish up, but in phase one. But I do want to move into Rita Ranch and finish Rita Ranch. My expectation is we'll use a different pavement treatment. I think we'll go ahead and do mill and fill in Rita Ranch. In fact, at this point, all of the projects that I'm seeing right now, I will be at least this year while prices are so good. We may have a different condition later in the program, but right now we're doing well on the mill and fill. So I will be I'll be focusing on that with all of these projects. So do that, and then another project I'd like to do is the Century Business Park, that's the Port of Tucson, Little Town Road. We have Kolb Road that we're going to be repaving with the RTA. So that'll go basically from this left turn or the ramp that comes onto eastbound Valencia from Kolb down to the interstate. So that's an RTA project. But those are the projects that I'm looking at for Ward 4.
Jim?
Yeah.
Number 6, the Century Park, that's just empty land. I mean, there's roads in there, but there's no buildings, right? Am I thinking of the right spot?
No, you're thinking of the right spot. Okay. There's a lot of roads. Those roads need to be repaired. It is one of the things that I am mindful of is the fact that's shovel-ready industrial development land.
Yeah.
So there's some value to that. We hear regularly from the development community, our own people in-house trying to attract economic development that we need to be looking at these kinds of things. And there is a fair amount of traffic through their truck traffic.
So the calculus was that the money invested in the infrastructure is worth the potential ROI for development growth.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, this is in part informed by the fact that I probably can get it done cheaper if I do it close to the same time as I do Cobra. I like to try to, you know, it would be two separate prices or two separate contracts, but I can oftentimes find that I can leverage one contractor or one contract on another. If the larger one is awarded, I can generally get the get a favorable price on the smaller project.
Can you speak to the tiny little purple squares at Kolb and Valencia? Those are, the southwest is just
right
a big
here?
Yeah, that's just a big
I have
line.
No
the
idea
other
what
one
that
is,
is.
The other one's where the speedway's at.
Yeah.
So what is that?
You know, I think what this is South Point Industrial Park. So you remember when McCulloch Chainsaw was out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there that is Rainbird is in that. Their corporate headquarters are in there.
On the north side.
What's that?
On the north side.
On the north side.
American Openings is right,
right
there.
American
now.
Openings
yeah, yeah.
is there. All of you know those that I haven't looked at in great detail at what that. What that involves. I know there's also...
They're just putting RV storage on the south
yeah.
side, which is why I thought that was weird to see that.
Yeah, and I don't... I mean, frankly, I haven't spent any time looking at it.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it, and I will add, it doesn't have a number, so I don't know why they put it on the map. So...
Just to make y'all question it.
Probably.
It works.
There you go.
It worked.
Make sure we're paying attention.
There you go.
Fair enough.
It's working.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
But just remember, eventually, if y'all look, even though they're retaining the walls and they're retaining the roads and they're doing this and that, it's going to fill up. The developers are going to go, why didn't we think of that sooner? And they're going to start building right there.
Well,
they fixed the roads, so, you know, it's all it's the least we can do.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one of the things that, may happen in that area, you know, with Davis-Monthans changing their mission. You know, the A-10, you know, part of Fighter Command, now they're going to Special Operations Command. They're going to be flying different aircraft. And, you know, one of the things that they had was, you know, basically the paddle off the end of the runway. There is the possibility that that could be redesignated and there may be an opportunity for more intensive development in that
really?
Area. So, yes, that is
because I mean that whole swath south of Old Vale Road, you couldn't really develop residentially and
right.
some other businesses.
You may not still want to do it residentially.
No.
But yeah.
But there's some other businesses that wouldn't go down there because of the flat panel, but you're saying that could change.
It could.
More hardware.
It could. You know, the aircraft that they're flying are going to be different. You know, there's the potential for them bringing in drones. There's the, I think there's the talk of that. I know that the Special Operations Command is standing up. The other thing that's going to be happening, and, you know, this is the new base access. You've got the aircraft recyclers in this area. But this is the new truck access into Davis-Monthan that I don't know that they've opened it yet, but it's like imminent. They've been spending a lot of money on doing the security in there. They currently, if you want to access Davis-Monthan for trucks, you have to come in off of Swan. And what ends up happening is they don't open the gate until a certain time in the morning, and you'll end up with semi-tractors parked in the right-hand lane of Golf Links waiting to get in because the gate hasn't opened yet. And so they actually have an auxiliary lane paved on Wilmot from Valencia North where those trucks can line up and stand until the gate's open. But that is going to be the new main gate for freight into Davis-Monthan.
But is that going up Craycroft? Is that what you're saying, the backside of Craycroft, like where all the junkyards are and whatnot?
Yeah, it's actually, you've got a direct, you've got an interchange here on the 10, you've got the intersection.
Oh, Wilmot, you said.
Wilmot,
oh,
right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
So, I think this is Craycroft right here.
Yeah, you're right.
So, but yeah, that's, you know, so this area could change. We'll see.
Okay.
You know, I know that Davis Monthan's got aspirations to do some different things. On to Ward 5. My priority in Ward 5 is to tackle Pueblo Gardens and the neighborhood to the west. I forget the name of it offhand.
It is Las Vistas and Western Hills.
Well, no, that's to the south. That's right in here.
Oh, to the west.
To the west.
It's South Park.
South Park. Okay. Let me see. I think, I think we call it Casa de Kino here. But yeah, it's that area, exactly. So so those would be a project that I'm looking to put out to bid shortly.
Okay, that's Casa de Kino. That's off of Kino, and it's its own little neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay, to St. Benedict.
Bingo. Yeah.
Okay.
You got it.
Gotcha.
So we'll be repaving that area, and then we've got a couple of other projects. I'd like to do. I think this is Tierra Vista area right in through here. Whoops, it pops up. We'll be repaving Alvernon between Valencia and the interstate. So that will be one of the RTA projects that we're going to do, and I'd like to take care of this these two neighborhoods on either side. Desert View High School is right here for reference, and then we've already done the work in these two neighborhoods. In phase one. After that, we'd be going over to I think this is Airport Commerce, no, Tucson Business Park. Apache is Avenue is in here. I think this used to be the old Apache Drive-In, if I recall correctly. For those of you who've been around for a few years, and then this is called. Bravo One, the neighborhood here. I don't know how it got that name, but that's what it's titled. Like for reference, the Ward 5 office is like right in here, mm-hmm. and the Park Avenue Service Center is here. And then in Ward 6, we're going to look primarily at this area right here, the Blendon Elm neighborhood area. So we'll be repaving that. That'll be the first project that we do, and my guess is that will probably be this fall that I put out to bid. So where we are revenue-wise, these are the collections that we've seen on a monthly basis. What I've done is I shifted it so it reflects the month in which it was collected, not the month in which we. This is the month of the transaction at the business level. So our first month of collection was July of 2022. It was fiscal 23. That was how much we collected that month. And our most recent posting is for commercial activity in October, even though I took the deposit for it in June. I'm sorry, April. That is it. Did I say October? I meant April. April was when the most recent transaction information is. And so it's funny, whenever when you talk to the finance people, you kind of have to be clear as to whether it's the month of the transaction at the cash register, the month that it was collected by the state, or the month that it was transferred to the city. So these are all different months. This represents the.
Oh, can you go back?
Yeah,
I know we're. Well, okay. I'll save it for the police reads coordinating segment. We'll keep going.
Okay. This bar graph shows the relative comparison year to year. We're doing a little better than we did last year, but. Not by a lot. It's been very, very modest growth. This is our revenue, encumbrances, and expenses. The green line is the revenue, and you will note I passed over. and am now, I have more encumbered than I have collected. So I am at a point where I'm needing to starting to hit the wool button. So we'll be careful in what we put out to make sure that we don't, again, get ahead of the skis.
Are you expecting this to merge again based on forecast, or do you? What does your crystal ball say?
My crystal ball says, I don't want to have this line over this line.
Well, right.
And so my crystal ball is that I will slow down and I'll try to get them. Ideally, I'd like to have I would feel more comfortable and sleep better at night if my encumbrances matched my revenues.
So as best practice, I'm not sure if that's the right word.
Well,
if it was best, you'd be doing it all the time, but
yeah.
What's your strategy?
My strategy right now is getting in alignment with the city's budget. And so I've been, because we had such a large amount of money that was, when we did our first project, we had a year of collections already in the bank. And we were collecting and spending. So I wasn't too terribly concerned about how fast I went. In fact, my mission was to go as fast as I could. And we're now at a point where we are catching up. We've exhausted the year of money that we had in the bank. That doesn't trouble me because, here we're at year four, we're 40% through the life of the RTA, or of the 411, and 40% delivered on the projects. I feel pretty good about that. So that, I think we're where we want to be right now. Basically slowing down to match the rate of collection and following the budget, which my finance people are more worried about than that.
To use a lay term, is it fair to say sort of like we're now living paycheck to paycheck?
I think that's probably pretty close to accurate, yeah.
Whereas before we had some money in the bank. Now
We're living paycheck to paycheck, but we have a fixed amount of money in the bank just in case.
That works.
Cool.
The water's staying on.
Do what?
The water is staying on.
Yes.
Not so much about the lights, but then again, with the heat, I don't think we really care.
I do want to short applause for DTM because since about late 2025, you've been spending the money that the taxpayers want DTM to spend. So people have been very happy about our project. So thank you for that.
I thank you for that, and I think we got a great team working on it, and we have gotten to the point where the delivery is going really, really efficiently, and I've told them that in all the spare time that they'll now have as we slow this down, I got to get them to work on arterial roads. So we'll be pivoting a little bit on that in terms of our resources, but we're in pretty good shape right now. The other thing that's happening is our business services department is wanting to exert more control and have more clarity on the processes that we're using. So that's something that that we're going through right now as well. So, in fact, at the next meeting, I'll probably bring you a plan for a plan by neighborhood of what we're going to be doing over the coming year. Okay, and here are, this is the formal statement that we got from our finance folks. Program expenditures to date in local streets, or the better streets, if you will, is $218.6 million, and our balance at this point is $231.251. So. We've got a balance, but we also have we've got a lot of encumbrances. And with that, Any other questions y'all have? Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Let's keep it rolling on collectors.
All right. This will go a little faster. Okay. These are the projects completed. I won't go them because these are the same ones that you've seen before. The most recent ones are Sarnoff, Roger Road, and Silver Lake from South Tucson to South Tucson city limit to St. Benedict. We are commencing work on 36th Street from Mission to Mockingbird Lane. That's a layered project, which on a going forward basis, most of these are going to include additional things. It will include a multi-use path that's separate from the road. It'll include street lighting improvements. It'll include signal improvements at La Cholla, and it'll include some bus stop improvements. So it is a project that probably less than half of the total cost is going to be allocated to the collector program. The rest of it's going to be to 411 safety for these additional improvements. This is the map of the work that we've done. 36th Street is, yeah, this is the section right here from Mockingbird to Mission. I will point out that Drexel Road down here, we are going to drop that off the list because the RTA has got that in their plan. After that, the projects that we're going to be putting out to bid are Elvira, which should be probably in the fall, and Glen and Flowing Wells right in this area. We'll be doing that after the section of Grant Road at the Union Pacific is done. So that'll probably be no earlier than October that we start that. And I believe there are water improvements on both this roadway and Elvira. So those would be the next projects out of the chute. In terms of our collector program, again, you'll see these bar graphs. I'm going to try to use these more in the future. This gives you on the left-hand side, you've got the score or the rating from 0 to 100. I don't have to show anything over 70 because we're not there yet. But this has shown what the impact of the collector program has been like. So we, again, kind of had ups and downs. Fiscal year 2011 was kind of interesting. 2010, 2011, the reason that it went up was because we did have stimulus money, federal stimulus money in the Great Recession. And then we did put some investments in through 101 and through the 409 campaign. Did a little bit of work on collectors. So the collectors kind of bottomed out in 2021, and with 2023 starting the five-year collector program, we're now, we've gone from a 47 to a 62. So, and that's largely over those improvements. We have up to $15 million a year to spend. We've only spent $15 million in 1 year. Other than that, we haven't quite made it to that. These are the projects that are currently in design. So we have a budget next year for $17.25 million of collector money from HERF. We also have we have $4 million in addition to that of general fund. The city will only give us up to $4 million a year in general funds, and then the HERF is limited by how much HERF we have available in the HERF budget. But we still have this commitment to $60 million of HERF. And $15 million, or 16. We have $20 million. Thank you. I gotta do my adding. So we have $11 million a year for 5 years. So $55 million of HERF, and we have another $20 million of general fund that's available. So the general fund we've only spent $4 million. This will show you what we've done in the budget, and what, you know, again, this is the $17.5 million that we've got available in the base budget. These were the projects that we spent money on in fiscal year 26. We only spent a little over $6 million. But we are starting up. The 36th Street project here that will, I believe we'll spend about $2.3 million on that next year. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So that HERF funding, that's going to just roll on into the future indefinitely, right? That's sort of a standing item?
It is a standing item until we hit 55. After that, there was originally a plan to take money beyond that and put it into augmenting the 407 program. But with the RTA passage, we are no longer constrained to that. Frankly, what I would love to do is I'd love to see us investing more in our arterials and doing things that are not complete milling fills. I'd love to be able to go in and, you know, if we've got, I'll give you an example, over by the Tucson Mall, you've got where the buses come out of the Tohono Center and start heading south. You look at that road between the Tucson Mall entrance and Wetmore, the right-hand lane is atrocious. Everything else I could probably live with for another 10 years, but I probably could, I would benefit to grinding that whole thing out and repaving it. Another example of something that I'd like to be able to do more of, we had a real problem at the intersection of Harrison and Speedway. I got that milled out and repaved one Sunday night about 2 weeks ago. So these are the kind of projects that I don't currently have funding available to do in any great number, but the city streets would definitely benefit from that. So if I had excess, if it was up to me, what I would spend the extra HERF on would be those kinds of projects, but it's not up to me. So, but that would be something that I'd be recommending to leadership to try to put some funding towards, is these spot repairs. And you can find them all over town where, you know, a lane has failed. The rest of the lane, the road is fine, or at least is passable, serviceable, but one lane is in bad shape.
Thank you, Rudy. It's the right lane on the south side, and the rest of the street's in pretty damn good shape.
Yeah.
But it's just that right lane.
Yeah, everybody trying to get down to Wrightstown, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, no, I've heard that. I've heard that's a rough one, and I know at some point in time we'll probably have a request to do some work on Tankaverde further to the east, because they're still working through the sewer line project out there. So
basically, add it to the list of the future.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I one of the things, just to kind of to put in a gratuitous plug here, you know, I know Council Member Lee was asking me about, you know, what do we need to do to keep our roads in good shape? And I went ahead and said, well, if I wanted to keep my good roads good, this would be what I would do. And it works out to about $1.35 a square yard a year for the local streets, which is about $35 million a year. Is what it would take to keep good roads good. And if I wanted to do the same for the arterials, it would be about the same amount. So that's about the amount of, that's about what Prop 411 generates. So we want to keep the roads in good shape, including the arterials. That'd be what it would take. By comparison, you know, HERF, the Highway User Revenue Fund, which we've historically relied on, I think I told you about what happened in you know, what it was like in 2008, and then dropped off. It is only 30% more than it was in 2006. That's what HERF is right now. It's about $10 million. It's gone from $50 million to $60 million in the last almost 20 years. And during that same period of time, cost of construction has gone up 250%. So, yeah, that's about, to that amount, that $60 million, just about what I said it would take to keep those roads in good shape, just from a paving standpoint. So we're not going to, the state legislature hasn't done anything about it, and they're not likely to. The state highway system is in the same shape. They're not doing any expansions. The only way something would get modernized is if there's or widened is if there's local money from a local half cent sales tax, much as it is in Phoenix. Phoenix and Tucson have that. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm done politicking. Oh, what did they do wrong? Okay, got it. There we go. Okay. You remember this map? This will go fast. Purple are the ones we're doing this year. Looking at the arterial road network. Again, one of my lovely bar charts. Back at the beginning of the recession, we had our system condition was a 68.73, and it plummeted from there. The stimulus money started to plug in. Stimulus was really prioritized on arterials and collectors. So we got a little bit of a bump there, and then we moved into the Prop 409, which repaved some streets, so things improved. Then we had 101. This is 101 in here. You can see what happened. We actually lost a little ground, but then started picking it up again. This 64.38 is because of the 101 investments. And we're dropping off again. So, we would expect it to continue to drop off pretty quickly. Were it not for the RTA money. This is the, if you didn't collect a copy of it, I do have this spreadsheet in a form you can actually read on 11 by 17. We did slightly over allocate with that. So if we were to take on the full contingency and inspection costs at the amount listed there, we'd be over by about $14 million. I personally think it's pretty conservative still. What I can tell you is, and I don't know if I do this in a slide or not. Yeah, here we go. This is the program for fiscal year 27. I did not add the 25% contingency to it here. What I can tell you is that for my pricing thus far, the Irvington Road Kolb to Houghton, we'd estimated it at $5.739 million. I have a price from Southern Arizona Paving for $4,999,995. Or, no, actually, I think it's $5,000. Good, but just under $5 million, which is my cap for job order contracts. That's the short form, easy to get out the door bidding. So we've got that in at a little over or just under $5 million. If you add $100,000 in there for plans and specifications and soil testing and basically the engineering and another $200,000 for inspection, I'm still underneath that dollar amount. And I would tell you that I got a big surprise on that. I did not expect the soils to be as bad as they were. I had assumed that I'd probably have to do a little more than a 3-inch mill and fill. That's why I gave it the 60. Actually, I said, I think it'll be 4 inches. Well, that's what it is. 4 inches, I'll be grinding out 4 inches and putting back 4 inches from Pantano to Houghton. But from Pantano to Kolb, there's fat clay in there, or clay that is expansive, and I have to go, and I'll be putting in 7.5 inches of asphalt over 6 inches of new base. So I'm going to be plowing through there. And so that's a lot more than I had expected, but I'm still in under the budget that I'd set for it. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. I can tell you that on Wrightstown and Harrison, it's going to be tight. Swan Road, I'm going to be right about there. On Silver Bell, I'm going to be a little light on that. I think Silver Bell will come in underneath that. All we have to do is a 3-inch mill and fill, and I should be able to do that for under $45 a square yard. So I should have about $10 a square yard spare on that one. I'll be about right on the others. So, although Alvernon, or actually Kolb Road, I might, Kolb and Alvernon are worrisome. Kolb, I'll have to probably put all the traffic on one side of the street and do pretty much similar to what I'm doing on Irvington out there, because it's, I'm told I'm looking at about a foot of excavation there and bring it back.
This is a great list.
Well, I'm sorry?
This is a great proposal.
Oh, good. Thank you. So we've, and I'll be able to show you how it compares out over time. So we'll be updating this for you.
Has there been any pushback from the RTA on any of these?
Nope.
Perfect.
Nope. They're, we're in lockstep with them, and you know, I think you know, we've got a really good relationship, and frankly, the time I spent last summer over at the RTA is paying us dividends on this, because this is right in. I mean, we set it up to do this. So, with that, you are going to be invited to a groundbreaking. We're going to do that at 8:30 a.m. on the 14th of August. So you'll have all of the electeds, or we should have the electeds from the RTA, because this is their first RTA Next project. So they'll be there to celebrate it with us. And it'll be good to get this thing underway, because this is an important project for us, and it's certainly important for the folks who live out in that area. I know, as I mentioned, we have a pretty significant claim history, and it is something that I want to try to address with this.
This is great. There are people in the Houghton Corridor, Sabano, Mesquite Ranch, Sierra Morado type area, that literally will drive down to I-10, take I-10 around to avoid Irvington. Mm-hmm. I'm one of them.
Okay, well, thank you for letting me know that. I don't blame you a lick.
I will go 20 minutes out of my way.
It's terrible. Yeah, and you know, there's no street lighting out there. And I mean, I drove it at night coming home from a meeting once. And I mean, I was shocked. I was here, I'm bouncing all around. I can hardly see the stripes. I got headlights in my eyes. And there's no way to see the hazards to avoid them.
Are there going to be pedestrian improvements as well? Paths, walking paths, or whatever?
There is.
Excellent.
There is going to be, it's not in this project, but there is a project to build a off-street path on the on the south side of Irvington, and it will tie into, pardon me?
On the south side.
South side.
Yeah, because that's
the Air Force Base side. Right. Right, so there'll be a path there, and there will be improvements coming up through there at Pantano. So there'll be a bike path that'll come off of Pantano as well. So there'll be some nice improvements in there.
Street lights too.
Pardon me?
Street lights too.
I wish. No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
I know how to do that,
Grant. you would make a lot of friends.
I did make a lot of friends.
I'm sure you did. Make more.
And I made a lot more enemies, though.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's
so, anyway, that's the first project up. And That concludes my presentation, and that's the presentations that we have for this evening.
One other question about the groundbreaking.
Yes.
I assume the press is going to be invited?
Oh, absolutely.
You bet. You know. August
14th.
August 14th.
8:30 in the morning.
Yep.
I got it down right.
Great.
All right. Our last item is consideration of this hybrid meetings.
Oh, Madam Chair, I think we got the Complete Streets Coordinating Council.
Oh, sorry.
I actually did not participate, although I believe, Mr. Calvert, you were a part of the...
I talked a lot.
You talked a lot? Okay. Well, would you like to make a report on the Complete Streets Coordinating Council?
Complete Streets Coordinating Council approved filling in missing sidewalks and putting in eight Disability Act bus pads on all of the projects. Or not all the three projects. Mm-hmm. They were looking at three projects. Alvernon, Silverbell, and Swan. And on Alvernon, I'm trying to remember what it was, there was an extra item.
Then we're going to also put on some sidewalks that will go along Valencia to tie in over by the high school.
Well, there's that, and it seemed like there was one other item. I don't have anything with me, but there was one other item there were three items on that section.
I think there was a bus pad on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, I already have a proposal on that, and I'm going to go to contract as soon as I get authorization to from our Small Business Assistance Program.
Yeah, we were let know that they wanted it done last week, so we got it done.
I pushed them. We pushed the staff.
Yeah, no, we as I said, we didn't have any real holdouts, but the one woman was really reluctant. On the work on Swan, adding in the sidewalks and and we had a discussion. We went through it all, and that part of it was because Swan, most of Swan has sidewalks, and so it wasn't there was not huge sections. You know, Alvernon, there's a lot of sections that don't have anything, and. It really got down when you broke down the money. There wasn't that much more to do, Swan, and so she came along and voted for it. So
great.
So
thank you for attending.
Yeah. Well, that's I kind of got an introduction. You know, they introduced me as the as both the representative from Complete Streets. Or from here, mm-hmm. and Park Tucson.
Oh, interesting.
Officially, I am only the representative from Park Tucson, but I think I'm going to become default the representative from here.
Well, we appreciate your service.
Yes, we do.
We appreciate your service, though. That's awesome. Thank you, Dale.
I have a subjective question for both Jim and Dale. I'm noticing that for Better Streets, the spending is in line with revenues. You know, there's a lag. It's a healthy one, I think. And for Safer Streets, I'm seeing a significant balance accumulating, mm-hmm. on their side. And from your perspective, what do you think that's happening?
Okay, I'm not sure what you're talking about accumulating.
So they're not spending the money they're collecting as quickly as we are.
Well, there are several projects that are in the works that are in design. One of them is one of the first things that we said we would do, the paving and the collector program, was Bilby. And Bilby, the whole length, is going to have curbs, sidewalks, street lights, and I think there's a couple other amenities that are a part of that project. And so that project, because of the design time, and some of those things, are holding these up. Now, I wasn't with Complete Streets when they committed to that, so I don't know a lot about it. I know more about it from here than from down there. But that's I think where the cash buildup is that there's a lot of these projects that are delayed. It's like and I know it's not the sales tax money, but you know, like the five pedestrian crossings that they were holding, it was a federal grant. That they're, you know, and the one that on Second Street on was one of those, and you know they're kind of moving on those. I think I've seen two or three more that are being built around town. On, you know, so design, etc. Is I think part of it. Do you have anything to add to that?
Absolutely. You know, you hit it on the head. There's a lot of moving parts. You know, for me, on these projects, you know, I can blow and go. If you had a sidewalk in there, you know, I can do a little bit of that pretty easily if you give me a lot of latitude to move around things, because we're in a built environment, and, you know, power poles happen, and so do a lot of other things that we have to work around. If you start getting into a more dense environment where a lot of our collectors are right now, built along, you have to deal with, well, first of all, what's the water situation? I know on Bilby there's a water line that's being relocated. You know, that will add time in both construction and design. The sidewalks and a lot of these improvements require right-of-way. I know that they are acquiring right-of-way on that. They do already have their railroad approval because there's a railroad crossing on Bilby. So all of which, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. And so there is a lot of coordination that has to go on that. Now, one of the things I've been trying to do is, you know, I'm an opportunist. So if, you know, if it's sidewalk along that, I'll try to build it with my project. And I'm generally pretty good about getting those things nailed down. But if you add in sidewalk and street lighting, all of a sudden, you know, that level of complexity takes it out of the ballgame for me. My job is to keep things moving on these real easy wins. So I mean, we talk about easy wins. This, you know, doing the repaving and you know, getting what we can get done as quickly as we can makes the most difference, and that's, you know, kind of my focus.
Okay.
But that means that those other things still need to be done.
Another example, my daughter's house is within a block or so of the Alamo Warsh bicycle path, which they're trying to get through. And I went with her to one of the public hearings on that, and they were talking about it, and the question. The bike path, when it crosses Broadway, is going to go basically right through where, just on the side of where See's Candy is, and goes in, redoing, I guess, part of that entrance. And then it goes in, it goes behind the wall between them will be, and it will go around, you know, of course, then the Alamo Warsh runs east-west over to Wilmot. But right there by the See's Candy, there was a guy there from Tucson Electric Power. And he said there is no way that pole gets moved. And the staff said, it will be moved because it's not project, doesn't work without being moved. And so they're gonna have to, it'll be a complex move to move that power pole, and those things take time. I mean, you know, fortunately, when I owned a utility, virtually all of ours was on private roads, and life's a lot easier when you're working with private roads, and but utility work takes time.
All right, so let's talk about hybridity, y'all. What do we think?
Yes, good.
Well, let's look at the pros and cons. Yeah,
okay. I'll be the more pro-con type guy. You know, I think it's convenient. It maybe even makes it a little more accessible for the public, that kind of thing. I find we do, in Park Tucson, we do, and each quarter, we do two meetings a month online and one in person. And at Complete Streets, it's online. That's where you do it. What I find in it, and of course I find this in professionally too, to a certain extent, I prefer to come to the meetings. That's my preference, because the kind of things that I walk in here 15 minutes early, I don't always walk in here 15 minutes early because I'm going to hassle Jim with a question or two. Okay? And you can do that. When you're doing it online, it's not easy to do that. That's my feelings.
That's a pro for you, but a con for him.
Yeah. I'm fine.
Jim and I go way back. He and I were involved with the original design of Grant Road from, it's been broken up into six or seven projects, but when we were back talking about the whole concept of the 3.5-4 mile, whatever, 5 miles, whatever it is, of Grant Road, back right after the RTA was passed, we were there on a regular basis, and our relationship goes way back, and I you're in trouble. Get done, find out what I want to find out.
Well, and I think the hybridity wouldn't impact whether or not we are here in person, right? I mean, we would still have that option.
I'd rather do it in person. When we're on the I'm on the designer review committee for the Tucson Marketplace, and we do a lot of those. And the one thing that I've learned is when you're doing a hybrid, you've got all these people talking, not quite talking, but you got their faces right there in yours. And you think of things when you're in person opposed to when you're online and you're talking and somebody says something and then you have this thought, but by the time it gets back around to you, it's gone. Mm-hmm. You can't put it out there and it's time to move forward. And I personally like to see the camaraderie that we have in person, and I prefer be doing it in person.
I'm with Cindy on that. I mean, I prefer to be in person. Now, I think that having members of the public be able to attend our meetings virtually is a really big win for them. I mean, it's otherwise, we're just once every sporadic. I mean, how would people know to even be here, Whereas this way, if they find out about it, they can just watch. I mean, as long as we don't give up the in-person, I mean, I'm going to keep showing up in person. I think it's way better for me, to be involved that way. But I do like the idea of the public being involved, but I just don't know what kind of staff expense that is. But then again, it's like...
Mayor and council.
I think we should have to do it. I just think it feels like something we sort of owe to the public, if it is possible.
Any other comments? Where are we going to get the facilities to do it? Because it takes equipment, et cetera.
If it's the pleasure of the commission, what we could do would be to come back with a more complete description as to what we would be doing if we were to opt to go with hybrid meetings. I think there's some questions as to how we take public comment. In what channels can we do that? How can we do it efficiently? I know different organizations do it differently. For instance, the RTA, they'll allow people to call in on phone, and they'll and allow them to appear that way. There may be other ways that we could consider. I mean, Zoom can be done in some cases. I don't know whether that would make sense or whether we'd be we'd have the facilities here at this room to operate it or not. But I think if it's the desire, we can come back with a very specific proposal or an array of proposals for you to approve.
I'll be here. Probably. But I think the hybrid meeting, for that reason, I think the hybrid meeting gives a little bit of both. And so a proposal to that, to me, makes sense.
Rachel, do you have any other thoughts? You're a lot more conversant on those issues than I am. So thoughts, you and Christina, you guys have thoughts on how this might be executed?
I think if we decided to go the hybrid option, we could still use this room because we can set up a live event on Teams. The only thing I would mention with something like that is whoever is attending virtually, members of the public, they may or may not be muted. We come across those.
The moderator needs to mute someone.
Yeah, we can mute them, but then you run into tech issues on that end. I think there's pros and cons no matter which way you go. But
yeah, I agree with Christina. I know, like on Teams, you can set something up too, so it's like a webinar. So you have to give a participant access to speak, or like similar to like the city manager's like internal like meetings with city staff that he does. So there are like some roadblocks we can put in place. But yeah, I think we do have the hybrid capabilities for here. I was able to do the hybrid meetings for the Housing and Community Development's Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. We did that through Zoom, but I think the city's trying to move away from the Zoom licenses just because of the cost of it. But yeah, happy to look into it further too.
I occasionally have to travel for work, so the option of appearing online would be nice to have, but if I'm in Tucson, I'm going to come in person. So I am leaning toward the hybrid option just in case I have to travel during a meeting time.
Can we table it and look at it a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to make a decision tonight.
I picked up some new territories with my work, so I'm traveling about 70% of the time right now. So
it's
not even a question for me. That's why I missed the last two meetings.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, I've got a lot of travel myself. Yeah. I also think that it's important for us to learn those lessons as far as like accessibility and folks who might be, you know, housebound or disabled, having them have the possibility to also be advocates for their neighbors is important. So I like the idea of the hybridity as an option, regardless of, you know, what my personal decision will be as far as being here. Okay. I just want to voice that. Thank you.
Let's with Madam Chair, with your concurrence, let's plan on coming back with a couple of options as to how we might do this, and potentially a decision at the next meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I also just want to say, like, I really appreciate that we're building a culture of like being in person and being together and leading our committee together. I think that's really important as well. So just noticing all of those things at once. Thank you all so much, and thanks staff for making that, you know, making what's possible. All right, with that, y'all, next meeting, future meeting dates. We've been doing every other month, if I'm not mistaken.
I do not have any anticipated action items. The next time I would expect action items would be probably around the first of the year when I come back and present to you the proposed slate of projects for fiscal 28 for the RTA projects. So I think we could probably do quarterly meetings until then. So if we were to do a quarterly meeting in maybe October and then come back in December, that would, or January, that maybe we do it in December and start talking about it, about what we might look at for recommendations, with the idea being that we, you know, have a vote in January perhaps. Up to y'all if you think, but I would like to have a plan on what we would like to spend money on in fiscal 28, you know, shortly after the, in January. That way I can get the engineering and everything underway so we hit the ground running in the fall.
Okay. So we're hearing like September 28th?
October.
October. Mm-hmm. October 26th?
Yeah, the 4th Monday or Tuesday in October.
I think that's what we've been typically doing, so yeah.
October
26th? October 26th.
That's
right.
Great. All right, if we could just survey the rest of the team, rest of the commissioners, that'd be amazing. And see if the room is available. Yeah, thank you. And at that point, you would be running the show?
Yep.
Thank you so much.
I do have an agenda item I would like to add for next time.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
So we have the 411 and the RTA projects. Something that we're running into a lot in Ward 2 is the taxpayers having issues with collectors and arterials that are not funded. And I think it would be great to see a summary of collectors and arterials that are in less than fair condition that are not funded right now. And I know there aren't going to be as many of them as before the RTA next passed, but I think what the taxpayers tend to expect is that every single collector, arterial, neighborhood street is scheduled for maintenance at some point. And so if you could show us a summary of that, I think that would help with getting us toward maybe extending the collector street program beyond FY27 or converting that into a collectors and arterial program. So that's my reason for asking for that. Just to give us the ammunition that we might need to go to our council members to say this is why we need to continue the collector street program.
May I make a suggestion as to something that might make some sense also to look at? I know that Councilmember Lee has asked us to look at what would we recommend for treatments to keep our good roads good. And we're having a conversation with the council member about that, and I'd like to make sure that you're all hearing the same things that they're hearing.
Sure.
That'd be great.
Okay.
So I'd love to see everything in better than fair condition by 2035.
Yeah. All right, with that, unless there's objections, we'll go ahead and close the meeting.
I'm not sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good one, y'all. I'll see you in October.
Thank you very much.